from KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, zucchini ribbon salads, gazpacho, and ice cream tacos. Such is the bounty of summer. We talk with local chefs and food writers about their favorite summer recipes, what they serve when fruits and veggies are abundant and when the heat makes cooking unappealing. And we want to hear from you. What are your go-to summer recipes? Join us after this news. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, and you're listening to Forum. Summer is here, and with it, wonderful fruits and vegetables and herbs and great weather for outdoor dining. So what are some new, fun, or simple ways to take advantage of summer's bounty? Zucchini or tomatoes overtaking your garden? What are the different ways to prepare them? We've invited local chefs and food writers to address your summer cooking challenges, share their favorite summer dishes, and hear about some of your go-to summer recipes. And let me tell you who's joining us. Elaine Johnson is senior food editor at Sunset Magazine. Good morning, Elaine Johnson.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Nick Bala, chef owner of Duna Restaurant in San Francisco and former chef of Bar Tartine. Good morning, Nick Bala.
Good morning. Thanks.
And also Ellen Ford is with us. She is editor of Eater SF. Good morning, Ellen Ford.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And they've also brought with them some incredible selections here. We've got salads. We've got madeleines. We've got some incredible things, and it smells amazing in the studio. I wish our listeners could smell what's going on right now. So we'll be tasting food during this hour as well, which I am very excited about. But first, Elaine Johnson, tell us what fruits or veggies are really at their peak right now.
Oh, there's so many, but maybe we should start with corn because I've got some corn to talk about. This is beautiful Brentwood corn. I'm holding an ear and it feels like it weighs a ton. So when you're going to select good corn, it should feel heavy and full. The husks should be bright green, fresh looking. And then the tassels at the top, they should feel a little sticky and damp and be golden too. And that means that the corn inside is really juicy and full.
And what are some new and fun things we can do with corn?
In our August issue and also on sunset.com, we have our version of Mexican street corn. We call it Israeli street corn. And it's slathered in Greek yogurt and crumbled feta cheese. There's some za'atar on it. If you know what that is, it's a seasoning mix from the Middle East that has dried thyme, sometimes oregano, sumac, sesame seeds. It's got that on top, some cayenne, a squeeze of lime. And then we also have...
And it's roasted?
It's grilled corn.
Grilled. Mm-hmm.
And then you slather it in all these seasonings, and it's super messy. Bring the napkins. It's my favorite new way to have corn on the cob.
And you were going to say you also have with you something related to corn?
Right, some corn madeleines. So this is like a new take on the corn muffin. And you could make it in a mini muffin pan if you don't have those seashell-shaped pans that are madeleines that Proust, wrote about. Little crunchy raw corn goes into the batter. Great for brunch, great alongside ribs. And we love them. I whipped up a double batch last night, and it just took about half an hour.
Can we taste it?
Yeah.
And so this, and you've also put some lovely powdered sugar on it. And the texture of the corn really stays with it. Wow, that's really great.
Yeah, that nice little crunch. This is the time of year when corn is so good raw, as well as cooked. However you want to have it in salad, you can make soup. Just about anything you do with it is going to be amazing.
And what are these madeleines good with? Because it doesn't seem like it has to be a dessert, per se.
No, definitely not. In fact, I would put a big pile of them next to ribs. That would be pretty amazing.
Well, one of the things when it gets hot, Nick Bala, is that people want cold foods. And I've heard that you have been doing something really interesting with salads. Can you describe that for us?
We have our family, specifically my dad, always made meals at his house were always one pot or one bowl and usually soup or salad. And his approach to salad is thinking of it as a meal. And they often don't have lettuce. Once in a while they do. But there's a rule that you have to eat them with a spoon because all these savory salads that he would make would accumulate a lot of juice at the bottom. And so you really want to have that juice as part of the experience. So we've been making a bunch of those at Dunet, our restaurant, kind of in homage to the stuff that I ate growing up. The one that I brought today, it's kind of the classic version. We call it Budapest meets Brooklyn, because it has a lot of Hungarian paprika and Hungarian July salami, but it also tastes like an East Coast deli sandwich. So it's super juicy. It's almost like a soup and a salad at the same time. You can get the juice with your spoon, and then you can also highly recommend dunking bread into the side of it as you're eating. But this will make a big batch at home. And it'll last for a few days sometimes. Sometimes it only lasts for a couple hours. But, yeah, one of my favorite all-time foods.
And I love how you have described your dad as making the salad straight into the bowl. He doesn't even use a cutting board.
This is a fun kind of technique-y thing. It's having every vegetable with a different texture. So he uses a paring knife, and he stands above the bowl and just kind of – it's almost like an oblique cut of a vegetable. So almost everything in the bowl has a different shape to it. So it really adds to the mouthfeel as you're eating, and it cuts down on cleaning. So a lot of, restaurant food in addition to home food, but home cooks don't want to make a big mess in their kitchen a lot of the time. It's the same thing in a restaurant. So we kind of think of it from the same approach. And we like to break a lot of things. For instance, mushrooms, we'll like tear them into a bowl, or cheese, like crumbling it by hand. It serves the purpose of saving time and cleanup, but it also gives you a whole bunch of different textures.
Well, we're trying this right now, and it really is just bursting with so much flavor, and it's full of the tomatoes that I see growing all over people's gardens. You know, you've got this pear cherry tomato type thing, and it looks like heirloom tomato in there as well.
Almost no salad's ever the same. There are recipes, but really it's just whatever's available, and the ratios are always different, and whatever you're craving or hungry for, it's best at the market. That's what you put in there. So
it really is like a meal. And yes, at the bottom of this bowl, I mean, it's like a soup underneath, but a nice cold soup. And cold soups seem to be very popular, especially cold fruit soups these days, Ellen Ford.
Definitely. I mean, stone fruit's coming into season, so that's a great ingredient for a chilled soup. I had one yesterday at Tartine Manufactory that was plum and almond. It was so thick from the almond that it was almost like a smoothie bowl or something, but it was topped with toasted garlic and little flowering herbs and mouse melons. Have you ever had a mouse melon? Those little Mexican gherkins. They look like little tiny watermelons. So soup is a great way to incorporate a ton of things from your garden all into one.
Well, Nick Bala, how do you make a good fruit soup?
So there are a lot of different techniques you can use, and it really depends on how you like it. So you can do the fruit completely raw. You could grill it in the summer if you don't want to cook inside. You could grill the fruit first and then put everything in the blender. We like to steam it, actually, at the restaurant. We have a deck steamer that we use. It's a really efficient and clean way of cooking things that it's fast and it really maintains aroma. So we'll throw a whole tray of plums in the steamer for 5 minutes just to barely cook them through. You can pop the seed out. And then we'll blend it with fennel or whatever we kind of like at the time. Chilled fruit soups are, in Central Europe, specifically in Hungary, a staple. Medjlaves, which is a sour cherry soup we have on the menu now. But we cycle through everything. Santa Rosa plums, they eat them as an appetizer, as a dessert, an entree. It can be the entire meal with a chunk of bread. They're really special.
Cold summer soups are also something that you had in your July issue, Elaine Johnson at Sunset Magazine. Can you describe one that you think is particularly great for summer?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, everybody seems to think of gazpacho, you know, as classic red soup, but in fact, it can be green as well. And we have a grape and cucumber gazpacho that's green and really refreshing. It's got toasted nuts, toasted almonds, a drizzle of olive oil, and for some people who are possibly looking for a little break from all the bounty of summer tomatoes, this is a great way to go.
Though the bounty of summer tomatoes is something, Ellenforth, that you seem to really like. You have said that everyone should make a tomato sandwich. And could you describe your tomato sandwich?
Yes. And, you know, disclosure, I'm from Tennessee. That's where I grew up. So I think the best tomato sandwich is on white bread. I mean, you know, you can get a good white bread.
No.
Doesn't have to be something, you know, doesn't have to be Wonder Bread, but something that's really just like a canvas to soak up all of the tomato juices. I mean, at the end of the sandwich, you want it to be kind of pink. So mayonnaise, white bread, toast it, maybe, you know, if that's what you're into. Big slabs of heirloom tomatoes, sea salt, crunchy sea salt, like Maldon, ground black pepper. And then sometimes I like to add just sort of like torn up pieces of basil to that, you know, and keep it really simple. The best thing about it is the tomato, and the bread is just a vessel.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Exactly.
And an easy way to make cherry tomatoes for pastas, you talk about blistering cherry tomatoes. And then what do you do with them?
You just get the pan really hot, throw in the cherry tomatoes until they start to burst. And then you need to have hot pasta on hand, but then throw it in on top of that. And then you can just throw in some garlic and it'll all just kind of come together. You know, there's nothing else that you need, really. Some pepper, some really good olive oil. If you've got 1,000 cherry tomatoes, that's one great way to use them up over and over again.
And what is tomato pie?
That's another southern-y type of thing, but and again, it involves mayonnaise. But it's
and white bread
and some crust and some cheese. You know, it's really just layering heirloom tomatoes over a mixture of like mayonnaise, shredded sharp cheddar, salt, and it kind of creates this like almost, it's not custardy, but it's kind of puffs up in the oven. You put it in a pie crust if you're buying it or making it, and then throw it all together, layer the tomatoes on top, and put it in the oven. And then when it comes out, it's this like warm, juicy pie. savory pie.
Ellen Ford is editor at Eater SF. We're also joined by Nick Bala, chef and owner of Duna in San Francisco and former chef of Bar Tartine. And we have Elaine Johnson with us, senior food editor at Sunset Magazine. We're talking about the dishes and recipes that define summer. We're also going to address any summer cooking challenges or what you might be overrun with in your garden and some new and fun ways for you to use those things. And also, we'd like to hear from you what your go-to summer recipes are, what foods or dishes define summer for you, and also you can ask our panelists how to address some of your summer cooking challenges. You can give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. You can post them on Facebook. You can tweet us. We're at KQED Forum. And you can email us. We're at forum@kqed.org. So, one of the, and this is a very good problem to have, but one of the things that my garden is overrun with is zucchini. And so I'm wondering what ideas you have for ways to use up zucchini. Elaine Johnson?
Sure. What do you do with all that zucchini? One of my favorite ways is a recipe from David Tanis of Chez Panisse. It's a shaved summer squash salad, and he takes a mandolin and makes these almost transparent lengthwise slices. So it's really, really beautiful. You serve it raw. And then he also tears the blossoms into pieces. And I think it has toasted pine nuts in it. You could put in some basil, very light dressing, olive oil, salt. It's all about the zucchini. I also like zucchini for lasagna. And we have a recipe on sunset.com for zucchini and corn lasagna. It's great for your carbophobic friends because it's gluten-free.
And so you use the zucchini as lasagna noodles, those ribbons of zucchini essentially.
That's right. And another favorite one is full of gluten. It's zucchini, red onion, and ricotta focaccia from Karen Hatfield in Los Angeles. Loads of olive oil, gets crispy in the oven. It's fantastic.
Ellen Ford, any thoughts on zucchini?
You know, the shaved zucchini salad is one of my favorite things. And as much zucchini as your garden can produce, I can still always eat that one. It's just got the acid and the pine nuts and, you know, a little bit of dry shaved like Parmesan on top is always nice. Lemon, it's my favorite.
Can you stuff zucchini as well?
You can, yeah. I mean, you could put anything in it. Sometimes I get exhausted and I just make a mixture of like ground beef or lamb. It would be great. Pine nuts and tomato paste and seasonings and stuff it and bake it.
How do you – what are some good ways to grill it, I guess, Nick Bala?
Well, that's actually probably one of our favorite summer recipes with zucchini is to make almost like a dip out of it. So grilling it and also grilling green chilies, spicy green chilies and garlic and smashing it with tahini to make a, you know, almost a hummusy like dip. That's been kind of one of our go-tos. But we also preserve it quite a bit in the summer. So we'll make a salt brine and almost like you would sauerkraut. We'll do large quantities of that and then let it, you know, we can use it all into the fall and even into the winter. It'll be fun to come into the restaurant and see like pickled summer vegetables sometimes in the winter or vice versa.
So that's actually a great way of using using your summer vegetables and keeping them, you know, all the way through the year. But I guess I'm wondering, I'm not very familiar with preserving. Like, what are the best ways to do it to ensure that it's safe?
This is a passion of ours. It's kind of been our shtick at our restaurants over the years is preservation. And a lot of folks are afraid of food safety. In reality, though, brine pickling specifically is incredibly safe and fairly forgiving, too. Sometimes you might end up with a texture that's a little bit softer, but it's still almost always delicious if you start with a good vegetable. A basic rule of thumb is a salt brine of kosher salt, cup to a gallon. So making a brine and pouring it over vegetables, one of our favorite summer pickles is to just go through the garden. It's like the ugly overgrown garden vegetable pickle, we call it. And we just go through and pick everything that's sunburnt, everything that's large, or like those, you know, the one zucchini plant that produces a like 3 foot long zucchini, that'll go in there. Like, and then later you just cut it up and pour olive oil over it and some herbs. It's really always end up tasty.
So a really great way to use, as you said, those ugly vegetables that people think have gone bad or are no longer edible. And you dry a bunch of it as well?
You can use the sun if you're in a dry enough place. Food dehydrators, which we like Excaliburs because they're really efficient. So we dry a lot of them. We save them for the winter, and then they're incredible in savory soups. So most vegetables, when dried, have a whole new character once they're rehydrated in broth or even steamed to rehydrate them and slice them up. Zucchini specifically almost tastes tropical, we think, after it's been dried and then boiled back into a broth. It's a real unique texture, and they have a meatiness that's really fun, too.
Well, I'm being told by my producers that it's National Sneak Some Zucchini Into Your Neighbor's Porch Day on August 8th. So I guess that's another strategy to get rid of zucchini. Miguel writes, the very best California ambrosia is Southwest-style gazpacho. Every, quote, non-cook has a favorite recipe for cold foods. Mine is a tomato, onion, chili, garlic, cumin, salt, pepper soup served with a dollop of guacamole and sour cream. Enjoy. Oh, yes. Serve very, very cold.
Well, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, that sounds great. One of the things that I found interesting, Nick Bala, is how you also talked about, though people like to turn to cool soups, that in a lot of cultures, people use warm soups to cool down. So how does that work?
Well, it's the notion of perspiration is cools you down, which is true in Central Europe also. Babloves, which is a bean soup, is popular in Hungary, specifically in the summer. And we like to just get fresh shelling beans and some either vegetarian stock or chicken stock often, and then just throw whatever veggies in with the beans and simmer it till it's ready. Chunks of sausage or even boil a whole chicken into it. But plenty of Hungarian paprika is necessary.
And is that what you brought with you here?
I brought a cheese spread.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
It's probably
looks at the top. Looks like it's been dusted at the top.
Yeah, there's a little bit of paprika and sesame seeds on the top. But we make a farmer's cheese called Tudo, which is a naturally acidified cow's milk cheese. And lots of paprika. And it's popular all over Central Europe. They call it Liptauer in Austria and in Czech Republic. In Hungary, it's Kurazut, and it's a real kind of staple summer item.
And this is something to be spread on this chunk of bread that I have
here. Yes, our smoked potato bread.
Smoked potato bread.
Yep.
It has a wonderful texture, and now I can see how the density is probably, the texture is caused by the potato that you have in there.
Yep. It's a sourdough.
That is amazing.
Thanks.
And so is this one of the things that you would use to then dip the soup out of your chopped salads at the
Absolutely.
Bottom?
Yep.
And Ellen Fort, I have to ask you, you know, speaking about herbs and spices, you're really big on just adding fresh herbs to almost anything.
Pretty much. I mean, every salad I make, I cut up every piece of, I mean, I get some of the herbs from every corner of the garden and just throw them all in. But you can even just make a salad just of herbs, no lettuce at all. There's a place in Half Moon Bay called Dad's Luncheonette, and it is a very cute place, but they have this fabulous herb salad, and it's just herbs, you know, like parsley, basil, mint, all kinds of things with a really tangy, lemony vinaigrette, and that's it. It's just so fresh, and everything is just so of the moment that you just want to eat a lot of it.
And what are some examples of herbs that that are new or hot, that trendy right now that people can try that they may not have tried before?
You know, I don't know about the herb trends necessarily, but I do think that there are some, you know, I think especially some more Asian herbs like shiso are making their way into a lot more things. Traditionally, it's used a lot in sushi and salads, but, you know, I'm seeing it a lot of other places, and it's kind of this purpley, ruffly herb, and I grew some in my garden. It's getting a little bitter at this point in the year, but it's it has a really interesting taste. I mean, how would you describe it, Nick?
There are a few different shiso that we like to use. This is, I think, the Korean red shiso, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Japanese super green one that we'll often see in sushi has a real cinnamony flavor to me. And then there's also a dark red one that they use to dye, like umeboshi plums. We'll use both of those quite a bit. All are great in salad. But yeah, I think that they're each have a very specific kind of aroma.
They're also excellent as wrappers.
Elaine Johnson.
Yeah. I like to take the green shiso, which is a little milder flavored than the red, and wrap it around chunks of watermelon. You could skewer that and dip it in, I don't know, maybe something that had a little fish sauce in it. I think that might be good.
Well, Ellen Fort, I'm fascinated by this sort of roughly fuzzy herb you brought with you.
That's actually ice lettuce or ice plant. And Nick Newt knows the actual scientific name, which is...
I think it's Phidias glaciale, but maybe
put him on the spot. But it's actually a succulent, I believe. And it looks like it has that texture of sort of plumpness and moist. It's a little salty, and it's a really interesting addition to salads if you can find it.
Yes, the texture is really very unique, and now that you've said it's a succulent, I can understand now why it has that sort of, I don't know, look and feel to it in the mouth, and the flavor is so intense.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and I think it varies on where this was grown on the coast, so it's very salty.
We're talking summer recipes to get you ready for your weekend with Elaine Johnson, Nick Balla, and Ellen Fort. We'll have more after the break with them and with you. Stay with us. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim, and we are talking summer recipes. We're talking about dishes and recipes that define summer for you. We are hearing about your go-to recipes for summer, and we're addressing summer challenges, like if you have a glut of produce and what to do with that. I'm joined around the table by Elaine Johnson, senior food editor for Sunset Magazine, Nick Balla, chef and owner of Duna in San Francisco, and former chef of Bar Tartine, and Ellen Fort, editor of Eater SF, who've all brought some incredible things with them that we are trying around the table right now. So if you hear spoons clinking and dishes, that's because we are having a little bit of a brunch party, I guess. And you can join us by giving us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also email us at forum@kqed.org. You can tweet us at KQED Forum. Share your favorite summer recipes or foods for hot days. Eamon writes, summer means ceviche, and my favorite drink, guava juice with 2 drops of sriracha, mint leaves, and sparkling water. Well, that sounds great.
Nice.
Karen writes, sorrel, I have so much. What to do with it? Anybody have any ideas for Karen?
Cold soup. That's the classic.
Yeah. What besides soup, though? What is, Nick, do you have any? Yeah. I always do soup.
We make vinaigrette out of it. We'll just puree it in a blender, add some a tiny bit of lemon juice. It's already super sour, and pour in some olive oil.
Oh,
anything
sure.
You want.
You could use it just as a smear, Ryan, I guess, Johnson, under some chickpeas or a grilled lamb chop, something like that. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yep.
Well, someone has written in, Tapio writes, you can make a really moist chocolate cake with zucchini, and no one will know it's there unless you tell them. Have any of you ever tried that?
Yes.
Elaine Johnson.
I got a recipe for zucchini chocolate cake from Rancho La Puerta, just over the border in Mexico, and it was kind of low on fat because it was, you know, it's a spa there, so you're supposed to be kind of healthy, but it kept it really moist, even though there wasn't the butter in there.
Well, this listener wants to know if there's a trend of smoking foods and how you can do this at home. Do you need to buy a smoker? Elaine Johnson, any thoughts on that?
Well, you don't have to buy a smoker. There are a lot of ways to do it. You can do it in your kitchen, I guess, but I like working outside, keeping the smoke outside. So if you have a regular like Weber kettle grill, you can smoke in that. Just keep things sort of low and slow, add some chunks of wood. If you want to invest in a smoker, you can. Or if you have something like a wood pellet grill, like Traeger makes, those make it really easy to smoke foods. The wood pellets are fed gradually into the burn chamber, and they have smokiness in them, and that's the set it and forget it kind of way to grill. You can go off and crack your beer and relax with your guests.
Ellen Ford.
In the past, I've purchased some wood chips like that, like cherry or different kind of things, and just put them in a tray on the grill itself, you know, and they'll kind of start to smolder a little bit and get smoky in there and just leave it shut.
Yeah, works great on like the kettle grill.
That's my quickie way to do that.
Well, let's hear from Ray in Napa. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a cook captain, so I spent a lot of time in the South Pacific before I retired. And they make a dish called Papan Kru, which they soak ahi tuna overnight in coconut milk and lime juice, and then they toss it with fresh sliced tomatoes, cucumbers, and red onion.
That sounds awesome.
It's incredible.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Thank you for sharing.
Sounds like lunch for today.
Yeah. I could have an incredible day of culinary eats today. Summer, we touched on this earlier, but summer is always about grilling. I think there's a lot that you can do with it. But yet, I wonder what are some simple things you can do on the grill that are a little different than sort of the tried and true. Any thoughts on that, Ellen Ford?
Well, one of the things I like to do other than just putting like an actual piece of meat on the grill, which is my go-to, just a really good piece of meat. I have this recipe that I use every year. It's from Bon Appetit a few years ago, and it's you get chicken thighs, you cube them up, and you marinate them with like brown sugar, sambal oleg, the chili paste, sriracha to taste, fish sauce, and you only marinate it for 30 minutes so it doesn't get too tender. And then you cram it all onto skewers really close to each other, and it gets this really delicious. It's super easy, and you get this really delicious sort of like crust, and it burns the sugar a little on the grill, and it's one of my favorite things. It never fails. People are obsessed.
And Nikbala, you like to keep things simple when you grill.
Well, I like to keep things simple all the time so we don't have to do as much cleanup. But
cleanup is a big thing. Huh?
Yeah, and just being efficient with our time. One of our favorites, we get this – we have some great fishmongers here, one of our favorite things is to get flounder from our buddy Jimmy. He runs this company called Gulf Fish, and he gets this bycatch flounder from the Gulf of Mexico, and we like Central European food, so a lot of that's freshwater fish, and it has kind of a muddy flavor. We don't have a ton of freshwater fish here, but this flounder, although it is a Gulf fish, it has a little bit of that muddy taste that's really important, so it's great for this one-pot soup in Hungary called halászlé. It's a paprika, onion, and freshwater fish soup. And this flounder is perfect for it. We'll often make a real simple sausage out of the fish and then also just boil some of the fish into the broth. But it's another one of those spicy, makes you perspire, cools you down summer treats in Hungary.
So one pot soup, does this mean that everything just goes into one pot? There's no separate cooking going on or other
as a rule,
dishes or
pots.
And
so I don't get in trouble with my father. you're not allowed to use any other vessel or you can't saute something beforehand. It all has to be done in one pot or in the salad bowl itself.
So this is in your family. Your dad has put
very
down this rule.
Rules, yeah.
I love it. And as you said, it also makes it a lot easier for cleanup. Elaine Johnson.
Yeah, I wanted to mention a couple favorite easy grilling ideas. We were talking about the glut of cherry tomatoes. And if you have a cast iron pan, that can be a terrific tool on the grill for capturing those things like cherry tomatoes that would fall through the grate and make a total mess. So just pour a little oil in the pan, add all your cherry tomatoes. They get nice and caramelized in a few minutes. And then you can smear them on some grilled toast with ricotta. Have a little snack while your guests are hanging out at the grill. And I think one of my go-to grilled meats right now is za'atar chicken. That same seasoning mix we were talking about before, little lemon, olive oil, put that on chicken thighs, marinate it, half an hour, a couple days in the freezer, whatever you want to do. It's great camping as well as at home.
Well, Ken writes, come on, make it simple. Grill yellow squash, zucchini, pasilla peppers, and avocado. Slice in half. Season with olive oil, garlic, and cilantro. Grill cut side down for 5 minutes. Turn and fill with green taco sauce and smother with cheese of choice. Very easy and fast. Sounds like it'd be very good as well. Speaking of cilantro, Ellen Fort, you brought in this very interesting herb that you're saying is cilantro. Describe it? And then,
cilantro, also known as coriander, it has a tendency to bolt, to go to flower in your garden pretty quick. And that's what happened to me this year. It was so that hot streak and it just went crazy. But what you get and you can still use are the beautiful flowers, the beautiful white flowers. And then also they start to go to seed and you have these soft green little round coriander seeds. And before they dry and become seeds, they're pretty delicious. They're kind of mild coriander flavor.
I love that.
And
crunch
they pop
in salads.
Kind of, yeah.
It's a little surprise and they kind of come in these clusters. So just pick them off and throw them right into your salad. I'm all about the trash salad, I guess we should say. Whatever you've got, just put it in there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that sort of feels like also the same thing with your chopped salads, Nick. I mean, you're saying that, you try to just put in whatever's around. And
those coriander seeds would be great in that chopped salad right there. You might actually try it.
Oh, yeah, here you go. You want some?
Put it in there. That's a great idea. I'm going to add some to mine. Ellen writes, I can't stop making this simple summer pasta. It only involves a saute pan, good olive oil, tons of chopped garlic, cherry tomatoes, and fresh basil. The garlic is sauteed briefly before adding the cherry tomatoes. As they cook and soften, mash them. Throw in a dash of kosher salt and freshly ground black pepper before adding a handful of, oh gosh, I'm going to be bad today with my pronunciations, chiffonade?
Chiffonade,
a fresh basil. Serve over thin spaghetti and dinner. So what is chiffonade?
Little ribbons. Yeah, just stack your basil leaves. You can roll them if you want, cut them with a knife, and you have thin slices.
Another listener asks, any suggestions for healthy sides for barbecues? My family gets stuck on baked beans and corn on the cob. We grill at least once a week, and we need to mix it up. Elaine Johnson.
Sure. We were talking about zucchini, and one way to head them off is to cook them really young, when they're baby size. And I like to skewer them. You can get different colors, yellow, green, the little zucchini, the little patty pan. They're really cute. Have them on their own with a little olive oil, salt, pepper. It can be that simple, or you can alternate them with cubes of halloumi, that grilling cheese that holds its shape nice and salty. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Side dishes for barbecue, Nick or Ellen?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I agree definitely with picking those little veggies early. They're so tender and, baby things are very delicious, the small sizes. But I also love to throw onions on the grill, like either Vidalia onions or just a red onion becomes incredibly sweet when you kind of char it, or spring onions, which now I guess are a little out of season. But just, even leeks, anything like that that can really kind of get a char on the grill is fun with just olive oil and sea salt.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. I love onions, so.
I like grilled onion, but I love raw onion. Like, I think I could probably eat an entire raw onion with a chunk of barbecued meat. Huh.
I tried it once in college. I don't recommend it.
You know, those spring onions.
Elaine Johnson.
You can get those spring onions year-round at Mexican markets. Mm. If you've got one in your neighborhood, they always carry them.
Well, let's hear now from Guillermo in San Leandro. Hi, Guillermo.
Hey. Hi. So I've been listening a lot about you guys talking about different items. And how about put some octopus with some paprika, a splash of lemon, olive oil, olives on the side, a nice bottle of wine with some cheese.
Hmm. What's a good way to cook octopus so that you cook it just to the right point? Otherwise, I find it just gets super chewy.
Long or
Nick
fast?
Bala.
Long.
I defer to you.
Should be done in a minute or in an hour or more.
Yeah.
Like calamari.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that, Guillermo. That sounds really good. We're actually getting quite a few seafood recommendations with the fish and the octopus. Is there anything else that you would recommend on the seafood front?
Well, I mean, I don't think out of home, this is necessarily for home cooking, but recently I tried some sushi. I mean, you definitely could get some really high grade fish from a good market nearby and slice it. And it had stone fruit on it. It was at actually at Robin in Hayes Valley. It's a new place, but I forget the fish that had it on there, but it was this beautiful plum on top of the fish, and it was such an interesting flavor and texture combo. I would just say maybe mix it up with the fish, throw some fruit on it. What do you think, Nick?
Elaine Johnson.
One of our go-to recipes at Sunset is halibut skewers that have been woven with pancetta and big chunks of some sort of sturdy bread like levain bread, and everything slathered in a little bit of olive oil. That is so amazing. The pancetta gets crisp on the grill, and you cook the fish till it's just done, and you've got your bread and your fish and all the juices together on your plate.
Elaine Ford is senior food writer for Sunset, senior food editor for Sunset Magazine. Nick Bala is chef owner of Duna in San Francisco and former chef of Bar Tartine. And Ellen Ford is with us. She's editor of Eater SF. And you are joining us with your favorite summer recipes for hot days, your summer cooking challenges, and food dishes that really define summer for you. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also email us at forum@kqed.org, tweet us at KQED Forum, or post your comments on Facebook or on our website, kqed.org/forum. One thing I was wondering was, what are some good recipes that you can do with kids? It feels like, you know, grilling might not be the best thing, but what are some things that you can do when you're outdoors with kids where you could make a mess and, you know, just have a good time?
Sure.
Elaine Johnson.
Anything where they can get their hands in it. So, I did a camping recipe actually called Hands-On Salad, and we served it with homemade ranch dressing. I take this as a true testament to the getting the kids involved, because our managing editor, Erica Emson, tested it at home with her son, and he liked it so much, because this is a truly hands-on salad where you rip apart the lettuce with your hands, you get in there and cut the little cherry tomatoes. He asked for not only seconds, but thirds that night, and then he brought it to school in his lunch, and then he wanted to serve it for his birthday party. So if you're a parent, you know that is the ultimate, to have it at the birthday party. But homemade ranch, really easy, and then the vegetables, just getting in there and tearing them apart.
Well, you brought up camping earlier, Elaine Johnson. What are some great camping food ideas that are easy?
Oh, man, there's so many. We have a slew of them on sunset.com/campsunset. I'm the co-editor of our Camp Sunset book. How about cinnamon rolls cooked in a Dutch oven? How about that za'atar chicken I was talking about? There's a variation on the cinnamon rolls that is cheddar rolls. It's a lot of fun cooking in a Dutch oven, but you can keep it simple too. There's a paella-style rice that has all the flavors of paella, but just a fraction of the work, because you cook it on your camp stove.
Ellen Ford, you had an idea for good kids cooking?
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm really impressed about this birthday request for salad.
Yeah.
My children are younger than that, so we, you know, aren't in the salad zone yet. But the things that they love to do are to help pick the little things that we have in the garden, that, you know, find out what the herbs are and pick them. And then things like shelling peas or beans or, you know, taking the husks off the corn are always great little tasks for small hands in the kitchen.
Well, let's hear now from Eric in Santa Cruz. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
What would you like to share with us?
A ceviche that I love to make in the summer. Basically, you have take a good white fish, and of course, while it's sitting in the lime and marinating in the lime and cooking, make a separate pico de gallo and a separate pepper blend. And with the pico de gallo, one of the secret ingredients is garlic, which you can roast or not roast, but with your onion, tomato, cilantro. And then to get three peppers. Usually we get a yellow pepper, an Anaheim pepper, and a jalapeno pepper. If you want to really make it hot, something like a manzita, chop it up all fresh. And depending on your heat tolerance, mix the peppers with the pico de gallo and the fish and lime. And it's just amazing. You can put it on anything, eat it alone. That's one of our favorite summer.
That sounds good, and I have a feeling, based on eating this chopped salad from Nick Bala, that heat tolerance is high with him and with me as well in terms of foods. Thank you.
My pleasure. Manzanitas will do it.
Yep. Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Eric. Francis writes, please ask your guests about bread soup with tomatoes. I enjoyed this rustic soup in Fiesole, Italy, years ago. It was hearty and comforting with a Chianti. Yum. Bread soup with tomatoes.
I don't know if they're referencing specifically like Ribollita or a different soup, a cold soup.
I'm thinking like a summer soup.
Yeah. I mean, I've had gazpacho when I was in Spain that they've just blended it right in with the tomatoes and cucumber. And it thickens the soup up really nicely and kind of makes it feel like you're like a real meal.
Yeah. A little sherry vinegar is great in there. It can be pretty simple.
Yeah.
Well, Brittany writes, a great dessert option for a summer dinner party is stone fruit sliced and tossed in a bowl. Super easy and delicious. Some of the best fruits to do that with, I imagine.
And the Santa Rosa plum should be around pretty soon. That is one of my big time summer favorites that I always look forward to.
Incredible.
What makes them so incredible, though?
They have such a depth of flavor. I believe plums are in the rose family, and I feel like in the Santa Rosa plum, some of that fragrance really comes through. There's spice, there's jamminess, just everything to love, and it's often a very prolific fruit as well. If you're a home gardener, you have tons of them.
Well, Harjop writes, I'm vegan and was wondering, do you have any summer vegan food recommendations? Nick Bala?
We love to eat vegan. At the restaurant, we have a salad that we'll do with avocados. We get Broca avocados. He's kind of a legend for avocados here in the Bay Area. And we make a tahini sauce. So we use smoked potatoes quite a bit for vegan recipes because it kind of adds this meaty element almost. That's really earthy and savory. But we'll make this sunflower tahini sauce, and sometimes we'll put a little bit of smoked potato in it. But it's burning, almost burning sunflower seeds, like toasting them really hard. And then a bunch of garlic and allium, so onion, whatever, scallion, whatever you want to use. And then making this tahini sauce with sunflower instead of sesame. Lots of red chili spice. We use an aged chili paste in there, too. It's incredible on the avocado. And you get some we like to make a salad out of it. So you get a bunch of veggies, whatever you like with it. It's a really satisfying vegan salad.
Wow.
Elaine Johnson, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to mention my go-to grill recipe when we have vegans over is skewered tofu and shiitake mushrooms, and really easy to put together. You marinate everything in a soy mixture for a little while and then put it on skewers, and it's beautiful to look at too. You can put some short green onion pieces in there if you want, and it makes the vegans feel like you haven't forgotten about them.
Well, let's not forget about Doug on the phone. Hi, Doug in Alameda.
Hi. my question had to do with the different kinds of salt. I know you mentioned sea salt and kosher salt mm-hmm. in different environments and iodized salt. I never hear that talked about. What are the differences and why?
Anybody want to answer Doug's question about salt?
I have
Nick Bala
feelings on salt.
Go ahead, share. Yeah, please share. Same.
Me too.
There was a book, there was a study that I read where they, I'm trying to remember the name of the writer, but they dissolved a number of different salts in water and outside of like really specifically intense like Himalayan pink salt that have a really high mineral content, super tasters can't differentiate a difference between most salts. So really it comes down to texture and density. Or if there's a, like I said, like another aroma in there from mineral content. So really it comes down to, first of all, if you're using a recipe, we'll often use kosher salt because it's a standard that's pretty easy to replicate. But we always like sea salt just because it's natural. It's not processed as much, you know, and so that's kind of our go-to. But really weight is important because if you use a really heavy salt in the same volume, you can end up with food that's way too salty if you're not careful.
Elaine Johnson, you wanted to
It's interesting
that?
With just with kosher salts that Morton and Diamond Crystal, the two major brands, are very different
yeah.
in their density.
Yep.
So if you are calling for a fair amount of salt in something, say in a brine, you can get a lot more sodium in there. Our go-to is Diamond Crystal, which is a little lighter. I know that some people use Morton's, though, so you just have to kind of be
aware. We always wrote our recipes using the Diamond Crystal and specified it just so it's...
yeah.
It's unfortunate to be held captive to a brand all the time, but like it's a good standard.
I think too, like
Ellen
the,
Fort.
Oh, I'm sorry. The texture is one of the main things for me when I'm choosing a salt, and I usually add those kinds of salts at the end,
the
you know, as
salts.
A finishing salt, the flake salt. So like right. a you know a more damp gray sea salt from France or a Maldon, which has the you know pyramid shape. It's really flaky and crunchy. They all have their own sort of you know mouthfeel and
yeah. The Jacobson from Oregon, I like as well.
Love Jacobson salts.
Yeah, they're great.
Well, thanks for the question, Doug. Sparked a good conversation here, Kenneth in San Francisco. How about you?
Hi, Nick. I'm a huge fan of your grilled tripe you used to do at Nambe.
Oh, awesome.
And I was just curious kind of what that preparation was and sort of how you came up with such a creative style.
So we will be doing that at Duna at some point soon, I think. Thank you. That's awesome. Really awesome that you remember that. It's a combination of techniques. So we would take tripe and we would beef tripe and we would braise it first. Then we would grill it. And then we would fry it really quickly, flash fry it in a cast iron pan, and then finally finish it on a grill. So you get this almost kind of crunchy texture on the outside and a chewy texture in the middle.
Right. Remind us what tripe is.
It's basically cow stomach, and there's different types. There's buck. We used to use the we'll use buck tripe, I think, actually. Honeycomb tripe at the restaurant. It has a slightly different texture. It's a little bit fattier. But to some folks, it's a little bit strong in flavor, in
that
aroma.
I washed it a lot.
So we would counter that with a lot of seasoning. So a lot of agrodolce, a lot of spice, a lot of smoke in the recipe. And we had a version that we did our Nombe, which was the Japanese inspired kind of izakaya restaurant. And we also do a Central European version with a lot of paprika. It turned out, actually, we've been making this Hungarian version for a while. And we went to Hungary and didn't know this, but we realized that we were making this dish that already existed traditionally in Hungary called pacal. And please come into the restaurant. We will be making it soon.
And again, Nick Bala is a chef owner of Duna in San Francisco. Let me see if I can squeeze in one more call. John in Glenhaven. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share a nice summer salad of watermelon, mint, and feta with a dressing of sugar, cayenne, salt, pepper, olive oil, and maybe some pine nuts thrown on or walnuts. It's just really fresh and easy, and it's impressive, and it's delicious.
Easy is.
And I give credit to Craig Stoll. For that. He had that up in the Chronicle a few years ago. It's a great salad.
Well, thanks. That's a great recommendation. Casey,
right?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Goddess as well. The other salad would be a green goddess, which originated in San Francisco. The green goddess salad with escarole and frisée and kind of a mayonnaise herby dressing. You could do it really light, but mostly tarragon.
Well, great. Casey writes, I recently ate at a Burmese restaurant and became obsessed with the fermented green tea leaves that are used in their salads. I immediately went and bought some bulk tea leaves, fermented it, and now throw it on everything. Wow.
Wow.
That sounds very much outside of my skill set. He writes, whisk together balsamic garlic powder, black pepper, brush a portobello mushroom cap with that, and toss some red peppers and onions with it as well. Grill that up and make sandwiches with ciabatta, goat cheese, and slabs of heirloom tomato. Serve with lots of napkins. Elaine Ford, before we go, what's a good dessert? Besides the fruits, of course, that we've heard about. Or Elaine Johnson, either one of you. I think you both had
we weren't sure.
Perked up at the word dessert.
I was going to say that if you have a lot of mint in your garden and you are capable and like to make ice cream, I would say fresh mint ice cream is something I would highly recommend. It has a totally different flavor than just like your green mint chip.
So you just sort of mash fresh mint in like a...
Yeah, you steep it in the cream.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our great. August issue, we have a story called The Big Chill with lots of homemade ice cream treats, recipes for how to make your own version of It's, pop-ups, choco tacos, number of things.
Awesome. Well, Elaine Johnson of Sunset Magazine, Nick Bala of Duna, and Ellen Ford of Eater SF, thanks to all of you for coming in today and for bringing in these great foods.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
We have links up to some summer recipes from our guests and from KQED's own Bay Area Bites at our website, kqed.org/forum. Have a great weekend. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.